I greet you in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who comes to us, walks with us daily, and grants us peace through it all. In his name, amen. This passage that we're going to study this morning is our gospel lesson. If you'd take out, if you have a Bible in the pew near you, grab it too. We'll look up a couple other passages. How many of you are on Facebook? That's what I thought. Okay, a few, all right. I know. I always tell younger pastors I was a pastor 20 years without a computer, and they go, what was that like, you know? On Facebook recently, I saw some high school classmates of mine, and my both of them I went to high school with. We, like, first grade through 12th grade at Broomfield. And my one, the woman, she calls her grandchildren gooses. And so the gooses and grandpa and grandma are going out, and there's this beautiful picture of grandpa and grandma with about three or four of their grandchildren, and they're all dolled up. They're going out to see a musical production of Little Mermaid. And so they're all excited, and they're really, you know, like 3, 4 years old, whatever. And the boy has a tie on. And so here they are, all ready to embark on a first for them. It's going to be different for them. They're going to see a musical, and they're going out with grandma and grandpa, you know. And, you know, it's going to be a new experience. But in the picture, you see grandpa and grandma, and I know them as kids. I grew up with them. Now they're old in their 60s, you know. And I look at them, but then I look at the kids. They're going to experience something brand new they've never experienced before. But they're... Now, why is that? Why are they confident? Why are they happy when they're going to try something for the first time ever? They're with grandma and grandpa. If you will... Please keep that contrast in mind as we walk through this passage in Matthew, chapter 6, 24 through 34. Life without God, and then life with God, with grandma and grandpa. You get it? You get it? You see? Life, trying to handle life without grandma, I mean without God. See the contrast? And life with them present. They know they have power. They got money. They know what they're doing. They've been there before. Okay? Now we're describing the character of our God. This passage will also deal with faith. At the end, Jesus says, "Oh, you men of little faith." Jeff Gibbs, the professor at our Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, he says, it might be awkward, but he translates that. He says, "Oh, you little faiths," plural. You know, "Oh, you little faiths," yeah. I love the prayer, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." And that's us. But the life with God, presence. And we know that because of the scriptures, and we've been made his in baptism, but also we're every week we go and hear his word and are reminded that he's with us. "Lo, I am with you to the end of the age. I will never depart from you." He's with us, and that makes all the difference. But there are a whole bunch of people, a lot of neighbors, a lot of friends who don't know God. Jesus remarks in groups that group, if you will, as the ethne, in Greek, from which we get the word ethnic. Ethne means the Gentiles, who don't know God, who don't have the Hebrew scriptures, who don't have the prophets. They don't have the knowledge that God is working in human history. They don't believe in him. And they're trying to live life without God. Now listen to that contrast. We're going to read through these verses. Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. Jesus, this is all red letter stuff. If you have your red letter Bibles, this is all Jesus teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. The multitudes are gathered, his disciples are gathered, and he teaches. And wisdom and truth and kindness and love just pours out of his being as he teaches. And he says this, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," which are earthly belongings. One version translates it money. And we all know this tension. For we all want the right insurances to happen in our lives. We all, as we approach retirement, want the finances to line up. We want to have this all. We want. And as my wife, as a good parent, says, you know, wishes versus needs, or wants versus needs, Craig, wants versus, that's a good contrast to have in any home. But Jesus says you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and stuff, money, belongings. You can't do that. And yet we're in that tension. In America, we pride ourselves in working hard and getting ahead. And we want stuff. We are, all of you and all of, and me in the pulpit, we are on a diet of advertisements that come at us from every angle, 24/7. Even they found the computers and they have pop-ups on you. And we have all these commercials coming at us telling us what we need. I didn't know that hemorrhoids were a problem until... See? Good old advertising illuminated my mind. You know? And we're taught and fashioned the way to think that we, you know, to have this kind of car, to have this kind of education, or to live here. And that's not the counsel of our God, to have things. We're going to find out his counsel in a minute here. And then verse 25, Jesus continues and says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious." Don't worry is another way of saying this. For your life. As to what you shall eat or to what you shall drink, nor for your body, as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and body than clothing? As a pastor now in my 41st year of serving, I've seen many couples say goodbye to each other at the cusp of death. One of them is dying. And the love between them is so very real. But their bodies are pooping out. One of them's just about ready to not function anymore in a bodily, physical sense. They're getting weaker and weaker. But the love is, it's almost tangible with long married couples between them. And you get this sense in the presence of spouses where one's saying goodbye to the other. You get the sense of eternal. The love is not going to stop with the body not functioning. But the body will stop. And we put those bodies in a grave. But our Savior tells us, because I live, you shall live also. Isn't that something? He skips through. And there's a continuing. Isn't life worth much more than being able to pass all these PE tests or high vitality or all the advertising things that come at us daily that tell us what we're not really living unless we have these things? Isn't life more than that? Isn't life something like love and relationship and caring that goes on into eternity? The Bible tells us that we were created for eternity, to know God and to love him. We call that the image of God or likeness of God. That human beings, unlike the animals, were created to have fellowship with God, to know him in his holiness and righteousness and be happy there. Not to skedaddle away. Isn't that great? I love the old expressions. Skedaddle. Say that to our grandkids at the old. Say what? Yeah. Not to skedaddle away, but to live in that harmony with God in his holiness and righteousness. Before the fall into sin, that's how it was. Adam and Eve were comfortable with God. And to be loved by him and to love him back. That's the likeness of God. That's the image of God. And because of sin, that's gone away. And we're ashamed of things. And we're far from God. And we hurt each other. And we try to live life without God in it. And Jesus says, don't be anxious. God is in it. I am here. Don't you understand who I am? I am that I am. I'm God in the flesh. And I am the one talking to you. Isn't that something? A Sermon on the Mount. This is what's going on. He is there. It's like the elephant in the room. People go, duh, you know. God's right there. Isn't that something? He's right there in the person of Jesus. For this reason, I say, don't be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, drink, what you should put on your body. Life is not, isn't it more than food and body and clothing? And the rhetorical response is, yes, it is. It's to know God and love him. It's to love each other like we're loved. It's to forgive each other like Christ makes possible. Yes, life is so much more. Life is so much more. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow. Neither do they reap nor gather in barns. And yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? The birds are taken care of. And which of you, by being anxious or worrying, can add a single cubit to your life's span? How can you live another minute by worrying? You don't. And why are you anxious or worry so much about your clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these lilies, these flowers. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today, tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, will he not much more do so for you? Oh, men of little faith, you are disconnected. You're trying to live. You're gravitating with the masses. You're being impacted by the ethne, the Gentiles, those who live without God. Don't do that. God is here in your life. They're living like God doesn't exist. They're living like God is not here. So it's all on them. They're so worried and they're so tired and they're wearing out and they're fighting and they're grabbing. But that's not the case. Oh, children of mine, God loves you. He created you and he gave you Jesus, the Savior. Can't you see? But if God so raised the grass, you are so much more important than they, oh, men of little faith. Do not be anxious. Don't worry. Saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? With what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. That's their activity. They're busy getting all this stuff. They're busy trying to feed their appetites for everything and anything. They're busy comparing what their neighbors have to what they have. They're busy and they're worried because it's all on their own shoulders. They think God doesn't exist and he's not with them. But the message of Jesus is that he is with us. Non-verbally, can you get all this? Jesus, God incarnate, is sitting in the midst of these people, and they don't know. They're so influenced by the Gentiles and the people living without God. And he's saying, I'm here, I love you. Don't be this way. I will care for you. The Father will care for you. Oh, by the way, I'm going to the cross for your sins and winning eternal life for you, and you're going to live forever. Oh, by the way, do you understand? I'm right here now, and our lives are crisscrossing in time and space, and I'm right here in front of you, Jesus could have said in his Sermon on the Mount. For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, they're so industrious and so busy getting all these things for themselves. And then we have even the human proverb. For a rich man, somebody inevitably says, well, after all, you can't take it. You get the point? You can't take the stuff with you. But those who die in the Lord are one asleep in Jesus, as Paul says, in the bosom of Abraham, we have the rich man and Lazarus. We're safe in the Lord's presence. I yearn to die and to be with the Lord, says the Apostle Paul, which is far better. I don't know the specifics, but I do know the Apostle Paul says that dying and being with the Lord is far better. Isn't that precious? But seek, and here's Dr. Gibbs from our Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, says is the antidote to worry. Verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Paul writes in his letter to the Philippians, you know these verses, so appropriate and so important for us to hear again. Rejoice in the Lord, he writes in chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Again I say rejoice. In other words, I'm not just giving you the common greeting of rejoice in the Lord. I'm saying I really mean it. Let your forbearing spirit be known among all people. The Lord is near. You are walking through this life with him. He's in your life. He loves you. Be anxious for nothing, writes the Apostle Paul. Oh, did you know it's the same Holy Spirit? Isn't that cool? The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. Isn't that neat? It's the Holy Spirit that inspires the writers of Scripture to write what they wrote. There's a connection there, you see. But be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. As you live in this worry-filled world, anxious-filled world, God is with you. Jesus is with you. He's won eternal life for you. Your sins are thrown away as far as the east is from the west, says Psalm 103. Take courage. Know that the Lord walks with each of us one day at a time, and he will welcome you home to your eternal home when it is his time.